I would like to speak in a message this evening that I have entitled, Heavy Your Burdens Need Not Be. Heavy Your Burdens Need Not Be. Galatians 6, verse 2 and 5. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, this is one of the subjects, the type of subjects we take up in Bible college, in a subject called Alleged Contradictions Harmonized. Because it looks like it's a contradiction. Of course, there are no contradictions in God's Word. First of all, it says to bear one another's burdens, and then it says every man shall bear his own burden. The reason it appears to be a contradiction is because the English version is not wrong, but like often, it's ambiguous. It doesn't tell you what kind of a burden in each case, but the Greek does. A different Greek word in both verses. And the understanding of the Greek word will tell you what kind of a burden he means in verse 2 and what kind of a burden he means in verse 5. You say, I don't know Greek. Well, there are ways of looking into the sources, but even if you don't, if you take it in the general tenor of all the rest of the scriptures, you'll have it anyway. And that's the way the scripture is. Now, in verse 2, he uses the word baros. Baros. B-A-O-S, short O. Bear ye one another's baros. Now, baros means a very heavy burden. An extremely heavy load. An excessive load. It means something that you shouldn't have to carry. It's excessive. It's a heavy load that is not yours. It's an excessive load. So he says that when you find your brother bowed over spiritually, he's under a great, heavy, oppressive weight, that he shouldn't have to bear that oppressive weight. And it's a great big burden that's put upon him. He says, bear ye one another's, help him with the load, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ teaches us that we are all in a body ministry. The law of Christ teaches us to have mercy one toward another, to be kind one to another, help one another, undergird one another. The law of Christ was shown forth by the Holy Spirit through Paul's writings as a body members ministry. We are all members one of another and all in the same body. And if you find that you've got to put it on one hand, and that's one member, and that load's awfully heavy, the head, Christ, says, get the other arm there, you help. And the other arm comes in and helps, you see. If you're going to reach over and pick up something with both hands, and it seems to be heavy, it's the head says, get the legs into it in the back. Get the leg muscles into it. It's stronger than the arm. And so, two more members come to reinforce two more members, you see. And if you go to push a door, well, one hand doesn't go up, you put two hands, it doesn't go. He said, get some more members in there. Get the shoulder in there. Get the back muscle. Get the legs pushing. And you get more members to give more pressure because there's a weight there. It's heavy. And so the Lord tells us we should bear one another's burden. This church has been real good at this, because they love one another. And that's wonderful, because they love Jesus, that's why. The church has been wonderful. It's very, very seldom you see a people who are undergirding one another more than this assembly. You've been taught right, pardon me for saying so, because it's from the Word of God. And you have been willing. And this is wonderful. But now in the second, verse 5, for every man shall bear his own Fortion. Fortion means a load, means a load that is a normal, your normal load to carry. It's a military term, as when they said, soldier, pick up your load. And he'd pick up his pack and he'd put it on his back. This is why Philip's translation translates, every man shall shoulder his own pack. It's a military term. And each person, you don't say, Say, soldier, would you carry my pack? He says, no, you carry your own pack. I've got my pack to carry. You've got your pack. The commander gave us each a pack. And my pack has my provisions. Your pack has your provisions. I'm not going to carry your pack. You've got your own pack to carry. Each man has to carry his own load. We each have a responsibility. We have a family responsibility. We have a responsibility between God. We have a responsibility for our own studies. We know this load is pretty heavy. Can I copy your notes? Can I copy all what you've got? Not do it. So, no, you have to copy for yourself because I can't learn for you. So you've got to learn yourself. And I don't mean you never can copy anybody's notes, but I mean in a place where you need to do your own research. You see, you've got your own load because you've got to learn for yourself. And wouldn't do any good just to copy my notes. Teacher didn't ask for it because he wanted information. He wanted you to learn by the research. So there's a difference here. And being under an oppressive weight that you shouldn't have to carry, and having your own responsibility. Now, some people don't want to carry their own fortions. They don't want to face up to their own responsibilities. They want somebody else to provide their food for them when they lay around and play the guitar, and somebody else to bring in groceries. They don't have any. They won't go out and look for a job. The Bible says, if you don't eat, work, you shouldn't eat. In other words, get out and work. But there comes a time when the load comes so heavy upon you that you can't bear it. And that's when someone else comes along and helps you. Now in Matthew 11:30, we find this word. Jesus said, in verse 28 to begin with, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden means you're laden down with a lot of loads. And I will give you rest. You come to me, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Well, we find out that if Jesus had given them rest, after they've spoken of another day, he was meaning if you're physically heavy laden and you get a lot of loads in your arms, I'll carry them. He's talking about spiritually. You know, people who are spiritually bogged, burdened down. And he said, I'll come and I'll give you rest. I'll come as the comforter and I'll comfort you. I'll come as the Holy Spirit. And you'll find rest in the Holy Spirit for your soul, because there's a struggle in your soul and you're just not resting and you're burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now a yoke is not for resting. A yoke is for working. A yoke is what you use out on the harvest field. You put a yoke on animals. If you have an ox here and an ox here, you put one yoke across them both, and they use the yoke and they lean into it with their shoulders, and they attach lines and they pull a wagon or a tongue to it. Wagon tongue, they pull something, they pull a load. A yoke is not for resting. He promises rest, and then he says, take my yoke, because he didn't expect you just to rest your way into the kingdom of God. He wants you to rest spiritually all the time you've got his yoke upon you, because he wants you to work in the harvest field, but rest in your soul, you see. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. But all the time you got rest in your soul, you should be working in the field. And all the time you're working in God's field, you should have rest in your soul. God didn't expect you to be all upset and full of anxiety and worry and trouble just because you're working in his harvest field. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, my yoke is easy, the Greek literally is my yoke fits, which means that God does not take a yoke that doesn't fit you and give it to you. He will hand-carve that yoke so that it fits you perfectly. It'll fit your shoulders. It'll be made for you, and when you lean into it, it won't gall you, it won't chafe you. You don't put all the load on the left shoulder because it's not balanced right. You don't get up in one small part of the neck and have too heavy a load in one area and tear the skin or make too hard. It fits you so that it with the maximum comfort, so his yoke is easy to push against. And an oxen pushing against a good yoke, he's a strong animal, he can take it. He will not allow it to come upon you more than you're able to bear. He won't put a heavier weight behind you than you can bear. You can pull it. And you can pull it all day long, too. And you can pull it the next day and the next day. And it's not mean to you. An ox is capable, and so are you. And he'll be a stronger ox, too, as he carries it. And you'll be useful to the master. And you'll be stronger and useful for him, too. My yoke is easy. My yoke fits. That's in the harvest field. And the burden that you're to carry is light. Now, that might be a revelation, son. Someone might underline that. My burden is not heavy. My burden is light. Now, he didn't say my baras is light. He said my fortion is light. That which is mine that I give you as a reasonable See? P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. Which is reasonable for you to carry. That's light. I don't give you something that's unreasonable. And I don't make it so heavy you can't carry it. The ministry I've given you, you can do. At least with my power, you can do it. There's a little secret here. God gives you something to do, but he expects you to use the strength that he gives you. You see. The story of a little boy I told a long time ago, a little boy was trying to push this big rock, and he was struggling, and the father decided to teach him a lesson, and he was heaving and heaving on him, couldn't move it. And the father said, "Well, son, use all your strength." And that made him mad. He stopped me and said, "Well, I am." He says, "No, you're not." He says, "Here I am right beside you. You don't ask me to help. You got more strength available than what you're using." And James says, "You receive not because you ask not." We say, "Lord, the burden's heavy." And he said, "Well, why don't you ask me to help you? Why don't you use all your strength? I am your strength." Didn't the Lord say that? He is our strength. We said, "I told you I was your strength." You say, "But I'm not strong enough." You say, "Oh, yes, you are. You're trying to tell me I'm not strong enough? I'm your strength. You get a lot of strength. Just use it." You know. Now, what are the heaviest burdens that man has to bear? The heaviest burdens are found in Psalm 38:4. And Romans 7:24. Psalm 38:4 is the heaviest burden for man to bear. "For mine iniquities are gone over my head." They're piled up over my head. "As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." The burden of sin is a burden that's so heavy. Romans 7:24. We'll look at this in the New Testament. Paul is talking here about that. He says that we know the law is spiritual, but he's carnal. Man is carnal, sold into sin. And for that which he wants to do, he finds himself not doing. That he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. And he finds there's a law of members working in his body, which is working against him. And he wants to do good, but he finds that evil is present with him, verse 21. And then he says, in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." Have you ever felt anything, saw anything in you, warring against the law of your mind, warring against you? "And bringing me into captivity." Have you ever been brought into captivity because of it? "To the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There was an allusion made that they said that sometimes they would, in Rome, they would take a person and they would chain him to a dead corpse to let him know that if he was a person put in there for life, that he was going to become like that. And he had to drag around that old dead corpse. "And who shall deliver me from this death-doomed body? Who shall deliver me from this old ugly corpse I'm carrying? This old corpse of sin?" Now, these burdens of sin, you can't carry alone. They're too heavy for you to carry. Some people try to carry them, and they're just groaning and groaning, and they're just down, and they can't walk with God. They can't walk, stand upright. They can't smile. They can't rejoice. You're trying to carry a heavy burden. A friend can't even come and carry them for you. He can't carry this kind of burden for you. He can't carry your sins. Well, what's the solution? Well, the solution is found in the very next verse here, Romans 7:25. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can carry it. Chapter 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. "We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us for groaning." And I believe that Greek is for groanings, what it means. For groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we are groaning under a heavy load, and he'll come and intercede for us and carry that load, and he'll intercede for groanings that we cannot utter. And that's another solution, praying in the Spirit. Let the intercessor come to your rescue. Galatians 6:1. I'm going to go back to Galatians again. Now, how can a Christian help with this kind of a burden then? If a burden of sin, then another Christian cannot do anything, can't help you at all? Yes, he can help you. I didn't say he couldn't help you. I said he couldn't carry it. He can help you. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and that Greek word fault, paraptoma, means a fall beside. Parabasis is a willing step beside the law. It says, no trespassing, and you trespass willingly and knowingly. You step right over there, right in the lawn where it says no trespassing. But paraptoma is you're going along too close to the edge, and you stumble and fall onto the lawn where it says no trespassing. You didn't mean to. They call it a fault, Hill. But it's a stumbling. You got pushed down by the devil. You stumbled because you were weak. You stumbled because you were walking in the darkness. You stumbled because you wasn't watching where you was going. You stumbled because you didn't have a light on your path. You fell on the side. You were on the grass just as much as the man who meant to go on the grass. But you stumbled, and he did it willingly. Now, if you find a person overtaken in a trespass, he's overtaken, see? That is, somebody ran up behind him and overtook him. The enemy was behind him. He wasn't watching, like Peter. And when he was overtaken, Peter was guilty of paraptoma, not parabasis. He didn't willingly deny Christ. He got overtaken. He wasn't prepared. His heart wasn't ready. He wasn't watching for the enemy. The enemy just came right up, and in his field, he stumbled. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He got tempted, and he fell. Bear ye one another's barat, heavy loads. So, if you find somebody overtaken in a fault, don't gossip all over the neighborhood. That isn't what it said, is it? No, that's the reverse version. This one says to go and bear it. Go up under him. Help him. Help restore him. That's the Greek word meaning like mending the net. The net's been broken. Go help mend it. Don't rip it wider. Don't run around and laugh at him because the net's broken. Don't call everybody and say, hey, his net's broken. Go over to his net and help him mend it. And then you're doing some good. Don't run around letting everybody know how foolish he was because he got his net torn. His gospel net. Ephesians 6:18. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us to put on the armor of Christ. Put on the whole armor of Christ so you can stand against the devil. And then you won't have any of these paraptomas coming along. Because you're already standing there with your armor on, prepared and ready. But now after you've got your armor on, what do you do? How can you help as a Christian? Well, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, how? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto, with all perseverance. Persevere, watch, keep watching diligently, don't go to sleep. And supplication, that means entreating or begging, asking diligently, for who? For all saints. That's what you can do. He says to put on the armor of God, and then you pray always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance, and supplication for all saints. So you be watching, be looking out for the saints, be praying for them, be supplicating for them, hold one another up. That's how a Christian can bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Praying for one another, that's part of it. Now there are many types of burdens, of course, they're not all spiritual burdens. You can be burdened down, you can be fixed sicknesses and mental oppressions and people from without and fears from without and from within and all kinds of things. But whatever that burden is, go over and comfort them and help carry the load and read them the scripture and take some of the load off of them and make them feel good and pray for them and so forth. Stand in the gap like Moses did for Israel. Well, Israel fell too, and en masse. And Moses stood in the gap and prayed and supplicated for them. And God gave them favor and went on because somebody stood in the gap and prayed for them. Oh, be much in prayer. The Lord will give us 24 prayer warriors who will spend their days and nights in prayer before God. If you want a ministry, here's one that you can have. We could use a lot of good prayer warriors. We've got some good prayer warriors. We can use a lot more. A lot more. If you're looking for a ministry, how can I be used of God? Well, maybe this is one way you can be used of God. You can enter this ministry anytime. Just start praying for the sick. Start praying for those that are weak. Start praying for those that are discouraged. Start praying for the backslider. Pray for the pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for the elders. Pray for one another. Pray for the college students. Pray for the adults. Pray for everybody. Just keep praying. And that's one wonderful thing about this particular ministry. You see, if you ministry in gifts of healing, for example, it helps the person who got healed. It wears you out physically, helps him that got healed, and then you have to... And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Now that's merimna, cares. The Greek word for cares is merimna. And the merimna of this life, the cares of this life, the anxieties of this life. Now it didn't mean, don't be overcharged with it. It didn't mean that you should not take care of yourself. The Bible says the man doesn't take care of his own family, he's worse than an infidel. He says take care of your family. He says be not slothful in business. But he says if you do not have these anxieties, these worries, because worry is not faith, and God wants you to have faith in him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, the cares of life. How universal is that condition? Well, it's universal, all right. For as a snail shall it come upon them, all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So, this anxieties of life come upon everybody. It's like a trap. It's a snare. It's hidden. You don't know it's there. But everybody gets caught in it. Everybody. Watch ye therefore, he says, shake sleep. Better what? Wake up. Because it just comes on everybody. So it just behooves you to get out of it. Now what's the result of this condition, this cares of life? What's the result if you do? Matthew 13:22. If you let the cares of the world come upon you, if you let merimna be on your back, what happens to you? Matthew 13:22. Jesus said he went out, the soul went out, that's Christ, and began to sow the seed, that's gospel, into the field, that's heart. And it fell on different kind of ground. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care, merimna, same Greek word, and the merimna of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You got the seed, you heard the gospel, you got the same gospel anybody else got, but you had merimna as your burden, the anxieties of this world. Your job meant so much for you, making a living, doing all these things, having all these things. You got to have. Work triple time, overtime, double time, get, have, take care of yourself, insurance, make sure everything, but you lose your life, spiritually. And all the time you're weak, and you're in a big hole, and you're worrying and groaning, and you're not happy all the time you're trying to get, because the cares of the world upon you, you're under a great big heavy load, trying to get a lot of things. See, why are you working so hard? So I can get a lot of things. Why? So I can be happy. You don't look very happy. Luke 21:27. Another scripture showing the results of merimna. Luke 21:27. And when these things begin to come to pass, then Anakupto, unbuoy yourself and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Now, I've said this many times before, but for the new ones that are here, look up in English and lift up your head means the same. So he's not saying look up and look up, but the Greek is anakupto and look up. Anakupto means unbuoy yourself. It's the same Greek word used when Jesus healed the woman who was bowed over all those years, remember? And she anakupto. She unbowed herself. He says, church, saints, when you get so bowed over in the end of this age and the pressure's upon you, and the weight's upon you, the ballast is upon you, the heavy excessive load, unbuoy yourself. You see all these pressures coming upon you? Unbuoy yourself. Why? So you can look up. Because you can't look up when you're bowed down. Your neck won't bend that way. You got to unbuoy yourself to look up. Because why look up? Because your redemption draws nigh. You want to see it. It'll give you hope. It'll give you a little burst of adrenaline here for the last lap. Now, how do you unbuoy yourself? How do you do this? 1 Peter 5:7. I had to put this on a little study guide, shouldn't I? It's one of these step-by-step things. How do you do this? Casting all your merimna upon him, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Or the Greek is to hurl it. Get rid of it. Hurl all of your anxious cares upon him, for it is a care to him concerning you. It's a care to him concerning you. You are his responsibility, and he cares for you. So just take all your heavy barras and just throw them on him, all the merimna, your anxieties, tensions, and fears. Just hurl them on him. Why hurl them on him? Well, he's already borne him once, so why should you carry him? He's already carried it for you. That's like your guide taking you to a fishing hole, and he carries your pack all the way up to the fishing hole. You grab it, put it in the trailer, drive it back down the base, and pick it up and carry it up yourself. I'm going to carry my own load. Well, he's carried it for you. You might as well let it. As long as he's carried it, you might as well let him have it. Why should you carry it too? You see. If he carries your load for you, don't pick up a rock and carry it just to have a load. There are so many people carrying the load that he's already carried for you. Just hurl them off on him. As we said, he said, you're a care concerning me. I don't want to see you all burdened down under that kind of a load. What kind of a father wants to see his little tiny child bow-legged under a great, big, enormous load, struggling and whining and complaining and struggling? He doesn't want to see him do that. And he's got the strength to lift it off. Besides, most of what's in that load he doesn't need to carry anyway. Well, now, that's how to get rid of it. But how do we avoid it? That's the question. How do we avoid having merimna? Let's look in several scriptures how we avoid it. Luke 21:36. Oh, we've already mentioned that. I'll just mention it. Watch, or the Greek is shake sleep. It means watch by shaking sleep. So, first of all, you've got to watch. You've got to shake sleep and pray always. Keep much in prayer. To avoid it, watch. Watch for what? Well, start watching when you look at your spiritual thermometer. When you start seeing all of a sudden the thermometer go down, you know, heading for frigid, you know you're in trouble. When all of a sudden you begin. Thing, all of a sudden the thermometer go down, you know, head for frigid, you know you're in trouble. When all of a sudden you begin to see that you're beginning to get anxious and nervous, you know that's not faith. Take it to the Lord. Make a commitment. Have faith in God, the scripture says. You've got to now start making a commitment. When you begin to see that anxiety, things are starting to come in, you begin to see these things, do something about it. Don't just let them go on and go on and go on and weigh you down and add and add and add. Come down and have hands laid on you. Ask for prayer. Get deliverance. Believe God. Cast them all upon Him. Second scripture is 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul says, but I would have you without carefulness. I would have you without merimnos. Merimnos is the adjective for merimna, and the A in front of it means the opposite of. I would have you with to be the opposite of merimnos. I would have you merimnos. I would have you to be without it, minus it. That's what he said. I would have you be without merimnos. I told you a story that they found in an early papyri of a man named Kitios. And everybody called him Kitios Merimnos. It's an old papyri they found, an old scrap papyri. And here's a little story about Kitios Merimnos, and Kitios the warrior, they call him. Worry, fret, and warrior is always worrying. Every other comes old Kitios Merimnos. Here comes the warrior again. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ and got filled with the Spirit, and they changed his name to Kitios Merimnos. Kitios, the man who never worries. He just cast his bosom upon the Lord. He said, Lord, you can have them all. I'm so glad to get rid of them. I'm going to just walk and let you take care of everything. And it was such a remarkable change that he became, here's Kitios, the man who never worries. That's a good testimony. Well, let's put your name and add Omnimnos to it. Get that A in there. Now, how do you do that? 732, let me find it again here. Here. I would have you without carefulness, not being full of anxiety. How? Well, verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of the world passeth away. Now, God expects you to use this world. That's why He created it. He created the world for man. He expects you to use the gold and the silver and the iron and the clay and to make pots out of the clay. And He expects you to use the trees and the grass and the cattle on the hills. That's why He made him here. He made the earth for man. He says, use it, but don't overuse it. That word abuse it means abusing by overusing. Don't overuse it. That is, don't start stockpiling. I'm going to build down my barns and be greater. Why? I can't use it all. I'm out here and I'm going to get every scrap I can get. I can't use it. I may have to dump it in the sea, we'll pile it up, but I'm going to get more and more and more and more. He says, well, wait a minute. What are you doing? Well, I'm getting lots of it. What for? Well, I'll give it to somebody after I die, I guess. Can't possibly use it all. No, no, no. Eat what you need and go on your way. Kill what you need for food and use what you need for clothing. Don't just kill everything in sight. Don't abuse it. Don't kill all the buffalo and all the 25 counties. Just take what you need in life and go on your way. Sure, have enough to enjoy it. Don't be stingy with yourself. Don't go without. Don't be skinny. He said most people will be fat. Got plenty. But don't abuse it. Don't be obese. Just be fat. little surplus on there for added energy. But don't overdo it. The Lord says to be moderate in all things. Moderate in all things. A little bit of sugar, that's fine. But not cupfuls, you'll get diabetes. A little salt, fine, but not cupfuls. You see, anything, you overdo it and you're in trouble. A little bit's good, but a whole bunch is terrible. Matthew 6:34. Now this is how else do you avoid merimnos? Well, this is one way right here. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, don't borrow from the problems of tomorrow. Tomorrow has got enough problems, and tomorrow will come, and with tomorrow will come the problems of tomorrow. But don't today walk in tomorrow. Don't take tomorrow's problems today. Take today's problem today. I'll give you strength just for today. I promise you strength as I walk with you. I have never promised you strength to carry things for tomorrow. I've only promised strength for today, for the now. And so I walk with you. I don't put you way ahead. Don't get ahead of me. You can start walking tomorrow, you'll be walking ahead of me. I'm here today, and you're up there tomorrow. You're going to be carrying all the loads yourself if you're trying to carry tomorrow's load, because I'm not going to help you carry tomorrow's load. I just carry today's load. That's faith. But if you insist that you don't have faith in God, but you're going to know everything and worry about tomorrow, you're going to worry alone. So the first place to get rid of anxious cares and mimnas is don't go living tomorrow, today. Just trust the Lord for today. With no mimnas, no anxious care, and then tomorrow take care of itself. Now, the scripture expects you to understand this with Romans 12:11. This word thought, take no thought, the Greek word mimno. It's the verb. It's the same thing as mimna, except it's the verb, mimno. Now, M-E-R-I-M-N-A-O. And so he says, I would take no thought. He means, so what he's really saying is, have no anxious care for the morrow. He expects you to understand this in light of Romans 12:11, however. Now I'll just quote it. Romans 12:11 says, be not slothful in business, doesn't it? Be not slothful in business. He doesn't mean that if you have to sow seed today, so tomorrow you'll have a harvest, don't worry about it until it's too late. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't mean don't fix the door today when the sun's shining because tomorrow it might rain. He doesn't mean that. He just says don't have anxious worry. Don't worry. Just do the job that needs to be done. Have foresight and do the job, but don't be full of mimno, worry and anxiety. See? He never said don't do a proper business. And he says, in fact, he says, you look at the ant, and he says the ant takes care of himself and does all these things when he has an opportunity. And he says, so listen, you sluggard, sit, lay there doing nothing, go look at the ant and learn something from him. Pile up, well, you got it, do things, like Joseph in Egypt. Get up because famine's coming. But don't be full of anxiety about it, Joseph. Don't have mimna, just, well, you got it, take care of it, see? That type of thing. Okay, that's what there'll be no misunderstanding. Philippians 4:6. It's the last one in this series, now it'll soon be done. Scripture, this is a longer sermon than I thought it was. It looked real short here and innocent in this page. My wife, she says, is that all it is? And I said, yeah, that's all it is. But like I told you before, they're all the same length regardless. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. Now, you have to understand that verse. It doesn't mean go ahead and put your hand in the hot stoves and run down the street among glass and don't pay attention to stop signs. It doesn't mean that. This word here is merimna. Have merimna for nothing. Don't have worry and anxiety. Why should you have worry? The Lord's going to take care of you. If you'll do your part, He expects you to do your part. If you do your part, use the brain He gave you, use the muscles He's given you, use the integrity that you're supposed to have, then trust the Lord and He'll take care of all the rest. In fact, He'll even do what you can't do. You do what you can do and He'll take care of anything you lack. That's what He's promised us. Have anxious care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay? Now, I want you to notice the contrast here between Matthew 23:4 and Matthew 11:30. Matthew 11:30, we've already looked at that, so just turn to Matthew 23:4. Matthew 11:30 says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, that Jesus gives. Matthew 23:4 says, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat and do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they do. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy baras, heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne. And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So they put heavy burdens. There's a church today that just loads its people down with burdens. 100 million things you've got to do, buy and work. Heavy burdens. And they were that way. Heavy burdens they laid on them. But Jesus said, my burdens I give you a light. I give you phortion. They give you baras. They give you that which you shouldn't have to carry. I give you that which you should carry. Then why is our load so heavy? If Jesus said the burden is light, why is our load so heavy? Well, the answer is found in Proverbs 5:22. I told you the Bible said it's here a little and there a little. And like I said before, it's many there a little. Proverbs 5:22. See, the Lord knows how to get us to believe in the Bible. He puts it in and put it all in one little place. He gets you all over the Bible hunting for the answers, so you learn a lot of things in between. You'll be surprised how many blessings you get in between finding your answers and how much you learn. He knows what he's doing. Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. So why is our burden so heavy? Well, if we walk in iniquity, see, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, which means the prayers of an unrighteous man availeth little. And so if we don't walk in righteousness, then we have bound ourselves with our own cords of wickedness, the Bible says. So why can't we hardly move? Why are we bound? Why are we so such a heavy load? Well, you bound yourself, that's all. You bound yourself. You have allowed the enemy to come in. Take over. And then Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So we see that there is a warfare against us. There's another reason our load is so heavy. There's a warfare against us. Well, what's the solution against that warfare then, that comes in and binds with these heavy burdens and all these loads? The answer is in Hebrews 12:1. I enjoyed getting this lesson. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You're on a race. And some people that run the strangest race you ever saw in your life. There they are running the race, and they got a great big heavy load. So what are you doing? He said, well, I'm in a race. He said, what you can't ask for? He said, I'd sure like to get rid of it. And he says, well, I think you should. He says, pray for me, will you? He says, why don't you just dump it off to the side so you can run faster? It's holding you down. It's slowing you down. Do you know it's surprising how many Christians are like that? The Lord says, roll it off on me. Roll it off on me. Roll it off on me. And here we are, carrying it. Take it, Lord. Well, give it to me. Take it, Lord. Well, give it to me. Take it, Lord. Give it to me. There's a place of just giving it, you know. There is a place where you quit whining saying, take it, and you give it. There's a place where you say, well, that's right. He didn't say, pray that I will take your load. He said, cast your load upon me. Throw it upon me. Now pray that I will take it from you. Take it, Lord. Take it. He said, let loose of it. Let loose of it so I can take it, will you? Yeah, well, I'm trying to take it. You won't let loose of it. You're insisting on worrying. You are going to worry, you're going to have a heart attack, you deserve it. You've earned your ulcers. Nobody's going to deprive you of them. You know, worry will sap your strength like nothing else. And it'll bring you right down to defeat, level you to the floor, and take away all your joy and all your energy and all your strength and all your happiness and all your smile. Worry will just crush you. And God did not want us to have it. There's a place, we say, Lord, how do you give it up? Let me tell you. You come to a place of decision. You come to a place and say, now, wait a minute. I'm not going to keep saying, here it is, Lord. Take it. I ain't got to give it up. Lord, now here's the thing. I give it up by faith. It's through a channel called faith. What you say is this, with your heart. You say, now, I am not going to carry this load any longer. Because, one, I don't have to carry it. And I am tired of carrying it. And I know that God is going to take care of me. And I'm going to put myself in His hands. And so I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to. I make a decision not to worry anymore because my worry doesn't solve the problem. It just drags me down. I can't do anything anyway. Lord, I'm going to pray and ask you, and then after I've done that, then I'm not going to worry any longer. I say, Lord, it's in your hand. Whatever happens, I'm going to not worry about it anymore. I'm going to just walk and serve you, and I'm not going to worry about what happens, not going what people say, not going what happens, it doesn't happen. I know if I put it in your hands that you will take care of it, and I'm going to quit worrying about it. And so whatever happens, that's it. Whatever you want's fine for me. I'm going to quit worrying about it. There is a place where you do that by decision. And it only takes a moment. I have prayed for people who've been under burdens for weeks that when I begin to whisper in their ear the doctrine of God, and they begin saying, all right, okay, I'm going to do it, they get up, their face is smiling, they get a joy, they get a peace in their face, they rejoice. Why, they feel tremendous. Why, what's happened? They just gave it up. They just made a decision, that's why. That's exactly what happened. They just made a decision. By faith, you know, the revelation to Him, I don't have to worry. I'm going to just trust God. Worry is God, gone. Because worry is the opposite of faith. And as soon as you got faith, you no longer have worry. And when you have worry, you don't have faith. If you had faith, you wouldn't be worrying. And so all it is have faith in God. Well, that's right. Because God can do all things. So I have faith in Him. That just turns worry off, just like that. You lose worry just by having faith in God. How do you have faith in God? You decide to have faith in God. You decide, I'm going to have faith in God. I'm going to trust Him. That's how you have faith. You say, I can't even get faith. I'm praying for faith. Don't pray for faith. Just have faith. Just trust Him. Make up your mind. You're going to trust God. Okay, I have almost done. Solution. All right, how? Verses 2 through 3 and 5. Looking unto Jesus. See, he just got the chance to do this. Looking unto Jesus. Does that suggest anything? Like, look not unto yourself. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That'll give you some faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The shame didn't mean anything to him. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Don't faint because he rebukes you. Don't give up. Don't quit because he rebukes you. Don't despise the chastening. Don't whine and complain. That throws you into merimna. Just rejoice in it in faith, and you won't even have merimna all during the chastening. One more scripture and I'm done. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon yourself. Oh, pardon me. I'm reading the margin at the same time, too, at my notes here said in my Greek word study here. Likewise, the Greek is continuing action. Be reckoning. Be constantly reckoning. Likewise, be constantly reckoning ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this does not mean, well, I reckon. It means it is reckoned as being such. I have counted it. I count myself as being dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus, unto God, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way, is through Jesus Christ. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I have surrendered my life. I've asked him to forgive me, and I am dead to sin. I am going, not reckoning that I have to sin, I'm going to reckon I don't have to. I'm going to reckon that there's a way of escape for every temptation. I'm going to reckon he will not put upon me one able to bail. I'm going to reckon that I was buried with Christ and risen a new man. I'm going to reckon that I'm dead, and I'm going to walk, therefore, as though I'm dead, because that's what I'm reckoning that I am. I'm dead. So I'm going to walk as though I'm dead. Call it dead reckoning if you want. But I'm walking as though I'm dead. And therefore I'm going to live like the old man's dead. If you believe it to be dead, you'll live that way. If you believe you're an ambassador of God, you'll walk like an ambassador. You'll dress like an ambassador. You'll talk like an ambassador. Because you think you're an ambassador. Because you are an ambassador. Because he's called you to be an ambassador. If you're an ambassador of God, then act like an ambassador. Don't act like a tramp. Don't look like a hippie. Don't walk like a derelict or a drunkard. But walk like an ambassador of the King, because you represent him. In your clothing, outwardly and inwardly. It doesn't make any difference how smart you are. If you look terrible, you're going to give reproach upon the King. You're an ambassador of the King. Look right. Be clean. Walk clean. Talk clean. Good. Look good. Be joyful. You know, if you're an ambassador and you're always sorrowful and down in the dumps, they don't think much about the home base. But if you walk with a joy and a peace and a rejoicing, you say, well, everybody got something there. And that's where God wants you to be. No merimna. That's against the law here. That's the devil's doctrine. Amen. Heavy your burdens need not be. My burdens are light. My yoke is easy. Let's walk that way. Amen. Let's stand. Roll your burdens on Jesus. I need some people to come up here.